last week. This is the highest number of claims in 2010. The new number beat the market expectation by more than 20,000 claims. And this isn't the only bad news hitting the markets. The manufacturing in the U.S. Philadelphia region shrank unexpectedly this month, adding to the concerns that we may not be out of the woods yet. All New York stocks are trading in the negative, and the European stocks have fallen sharply amid disappointing U.S. data. Economists fear now that a return to the stimulus era may be needed to avoid sinking deeper into recession. Well, the U.S. State Department is planning to more than double the number of security contractors in Iraq.
Well, the plan comes as thousands of American troops leave the war-torn country. The New York Times reports that around 7,000 contractors are set to fill a gap left by the withdrawal of American troops from Iraq. However, some sources say around 85,000 mercenaries have been already employed by the U.S. According to the newspaper, the new plan could cause a conflict with the Iraqi government. It says that's because of the foreign security personnel's alleged involvement in incidents involving civilian deaths. Thousands of U.S. combat troops left Iraq early on Thursday, while 56,000 American forces will stay until the end of 2011. Some reports say the troops are to be permanently stationed in four bases across the country. The U.S. Catholic Church is facing new pedophilia charges.
Indeed, now seven adults have filed a lawsuit against a priest in California accusing him of child sex abuse. The plaintiffs, six women and one man, say they were abused by Father Stephen Keasley between 1972 and 2001. They say the U.S. Catholic Church has long facilitated the sexual molestation of children by protecting the known child molesting priests. This is the latest of several lawsuits accusing the U.S. Catholic Church of closing its eyes to the sexual abuse of children by priests and church officials. The church has paid out more than $430 million to victims of clergy sex abuse.
U.S. officials say an operation to permanently seal the ruptured oil well in the Gulf of Mexico has been delayed until early September. Coast Guard Admiral Thad Allen said the oil giant BP needs to replace key equipment before starting the operation, which involves pumping cement into the well. BP had planned to start the process, known as bottom kill, in mid-August. The damaged well was capped on July the 15th, but officials say the bottom kill is needed as a permanent fix. Oil began leaking into the Gulf on April the 20th after an explosion on the Deepwater Horizon rig during the worst oil spill in U.S. history. Around 4.9 million barrels of oil leaked into the waters, with only 800,000 barrels being captured.
You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. The UN calls for more aid for flood-hit Pakistan at a special meeting of the General Assembly. U.S. and European stock markets tumble after bleak American unemployment data. Also, the U.S. scales down its forces in Iraq but plans to more than double the number of its mercenaries. And the U.S. Catholic Church is embroiled in a new pedophilia scandal spanning three decades.
Also to come here on Press TV, sale of body organs from Ukraine to Israel. Stay tuned for that and a lot more. On Wednesday, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution warned against any military action on Iran, saying the resulting confrontation would not be restricted to the region. We have now taken a closer look at other points in Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei's speech.
If the threat of military action against Iran becomes serious, the battlefield will not be restricted to our region. This confrontation will take place in a wider field.
در سایه تهدید و فشار مذاکره نیست.
Out of the remarks made in Ayatollah Khamenei's meeting with high-ranking Iranian officials, it was the latter that received most media attention. But several other comments can also offer a glimpse into Iran leaders' analytical perspective of where Iran stands in the global arena today. And of course, where the United States and Israel, who Ayatollah Khamenei calls Iran's arch enemies, stand in the global pecking order. To explain his view, he draws a line between those on Iran's side and those aligned with the US and Israel. Ayatollah Khamenei says public support for these countries has declined. Their foreign policies have failed in the region, they are struggling with severe domestic economic hardship, and the U.S. is in two hearts on whether to keep troops in Iraq and Afghanistan or withdraw them. On the Islamic Republic side, he says Iran's popularity is constantly rising among Muslim nations. He praises Tehran's successful policies in the Middle East and says the participation of over 40 million people in the country's last presidential elections shows political and social passion. He also praises Iran's scientific and technological progress. Ayatollah Khamenei's remarks come a week after a new poll conducted by the Zoghbi International showed Obama's standing in the Arab world has collapsed. Last year's poll suggested 51% of people in the Arab world were hopeful about Obama administration's policy in the Middle East. This year, the figure has dwindled to just 16%. The poll, however, reflects a very positive shift in public opinion towards Iran. 57% of people across the Arab world think Iran is playing a positive role in the Middle East.
Elsewhere, at least 5 people have been killed in heavy fighting in the Somali capital. 10 people were injured as Al-Shabaab fighters engaged the government troops in the southern part of Mogadishu. There are reports of artillery shells falling in a refugee camp. Al-Shabaab fighters have vowed to oust the government troops by the end of the holy month of Ramadan. The group controls much of the southern and central parts of Somalia, including a large portion of the capital.
A Dutch appeals court has fined an Arab organization for publishing a Holocaust-denying cartoon on its website back in 2006. Now, the court says that the cartoon published by the Arab European League, the AEL, was, quote, unnecessarily hurtful. The AEL circulated the caricature after a Danish newspaper published an insulting cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad, which triggered protests among Muslims in many countries. It republished the Holocaust-denying cartoon on its website last year. The AEL said it wanted to point out double standards practiced by Europeans when it comes to free speech.
Well, a ring engaged in selling organs and black transplantology to Israel has been exposed in Ukraine. Press TV's correspondent Alexandra Molotkova has all the details from Kiev.
A ring engaged in selling organs and black transplantology has been exposed in Ukraine. According to the law enforcement agencies, the group consisted of 12 Ukrainian surgeons, allegedly from Shalimov National Institute of Surgery and Transplants, and was headed by an Israeli citizen. Investigators said the group, which was in this illegal business for 3 years, attracted people who were ready to sell their organs from Ukraine, Russia, Moldova, Belarus, and Uzbekistan, and would perform the surgeries in Azerbaijan and Ecuador.
Four leading doctors at the Kyiv clinic, the Shalimov Institute, were involved in this group. It has been established that kidney was removed from almost 50 people through such illegal operations.
The network, which mostly sought kidneys, paid as much as $10,000 per organ to the given party. It is said the recipients, most of them from Israel, paid $100,000 to $200,000 for each transplant, of which between $15,000 to $20,000 would go to the surgeons. According to the Ministry of the Internal Affairs, malefactors have made $40 million out of the renal transplantations. But Shalimov Institute rejects accusations of being involved in black transplant surgery. A lawyer of Shalimov Institute, Oksana Gus, says that at present none of the staff of the institute have been detained or are suspected of being involved in such operations.
Our clinic, with 10-year tradition, is a leading clinic. It is impossible to perform such operations in this medical establishment, to do it at night, bring or take out organs. It is quite absurd.
According to the official data, most of those who sold their organs were poor women in the 18-24 age bracket and were chosen mostly for being young and healthy. A 26-year-old Maria lost her husband a few years ago and had to take care of her daughter and mother. As she had no source of income or social security, she placed an advertisement on the internet about selling her kidney.
I'm at the end of my rope. I will send my kidney and spend the money on my mom's medical bills and my daughter's education.
Whatever the case, the Shalimov National Institute says the official have already declared that clinic surgeons have no role in this case. But the Interior Ministry denies this information, saying that criminal case has been launched against four surgeons. Still no names are known.
This is not the first case of body part sale in Ukraine. In 2007, an Israeli surgeon was extradited from the country for performing illegal organ transplants. This year, all have been charged with trafficking of humans for body parts and could face up to 15 years in prison if convicted. Oleksandra Molotkova, Press TV, Kyiv.
South America is celebrating the anniversary of the Sao Paulo Forum. Argentina is playing host to the event, a social movement that has helped the region shift from military dictatorships to the current left-leaning governments. Press TV's Melissa Abalo reports from Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires has welcomed the 16th meeting of the Sao Paulo Forum, South America's influential social movement. Representatives from all over Latin America, as well as Europe, Asia and Africa, are gathering in Argentina to discuss matters of interest to the region.
Our struggle continues in the face of a globalization system that's violent and has a totally gone economy.
Founded by the Workers' Party of Brazil in 1990, the forum adopted the name of Sao Paulo to honor the city that hosted the first meeting. Its objective was to stimulate debate and new policies during an era of right-leaning governments across Latin America. These governments, popularly known as dictatorship regimes, were not popular but were backed by the United States. Now, the Sao Paulo Forum has helped install many of the leftist parties currently in power across the region, such as in Brazil, Bolivia, and Uruguay.
Countries are advancing and consolidating because of this project. That's what's important, that the countries that gathered in Sao Paulo in 1990 are now in government.
Environment and climate change, social movements, media democratization, security, organized crime, and human rights are some of the issues debated by participants in the forum.
It's important to use this opportunity to work and integrate the different politics in each party.
The forum is seen as one of the most significant movements in Latin American history due to the experiences and ideas countries walk away with. It's also a chance to network and exchange stories.
We hope we can cooperate, we can get cooperation from other countries, from other parties, not only learn from other experiences, but we want to go out with bonds, with relations, with other parties that can help us or that we can help them.
It's hoped the Buenos Aires event, attended by presidents and dignitaries from around Latin America, will continue to be an instrument for change.
This year's Sao Paulo Forum has added significance, marking the 20th anniversary of its inauguration. Melissa Abalo, Press TV, Buenos Aires.